Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
By our holy Abba, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in Shemayim. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Father, we give you glory, honor, and worship for this holy Shabbat set-apart day that you blessed. You gave us double on preparation day so that we could enjoy and focus and meditate on you and your goodness. You are greater to us than we are to ourselves. Bless our brothers and sisters throughout the four corners of the earth and give them what they need today and increase the faith and knowledge of the victory over such Hashatan and deliverance from themselves and their flesh and their sins and their hurtful past memories. We press toward the mark to obtain the prize. Bless your prophets today. May seed fall on good ground. It's in your holy name we pray. Hallelujah. And sisters, take contact says they will not be assembling of yourselves together. And they told you, Peter, to keep up. Shaul's writings were hard to understand. What he actually was in reference to is those that forsake the day that we will all be gathered from the four corners to assemble again once together. Not something the brow beat you over the head and tell you, you better not ever leave my camp. Or my church, or my cult. The liberty comes through the Ruach. There's liberty in the spirit. The word religion, the etymology of the word, is bondage. And he that the Son sets free is free indeed, and we are set free by the knowledge of the truth. And what is the truth? The truth, Mishpachah, being in the truth, is keeping these statutes and commands. Before I get into my lesson, we're just going to get into a little wisdom real quick. Psalms 119 and 142. This should be in your arsenal of scriptures. Psalms 119 being the first book in the compilation of the scrolls. The compilation of those. I won't say all of the scrolls. Because we know that there are many books that they've taken away, destroyed, hidden from us, and that all the things that Yeshua HaMashiach did throughout his entire lifetime was never all documented and couldn't be documented. And the Bible says the world couldn't contain all those books if it were possible. Psalms 119 and 142 says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness and thy law is the truth. You're not in the truth if you're not keeping all these laws. And that includes not eating pork, not eating swine's flesh, crab, shrimp. It's a lot of you Hebrews trying to justify your dietary habits once again. You're being tossed to and fro like a sheep in a hurricane. And you're not rooted and grounded. You're not being consistent or persistent with these statutes, laws, and commandments. We've got to hold on to wisdom Also in the Apocrypha, in the book of Baruch, the fourth chapter, and the first verse says this: this is the book of the commandments of Yah and the law that endureth forever. Did you hear that, Christian church? Saying that the law is done away with? It goes on to say, all they that keep it shall come to life, but such as leave it shall die. Every time you digress, go back, pick up old habits, old ways, start eating pork again, start being in fornication and adultery again, cussing, fighting, stealing, robbing, dishonoring your mother and father, you leave life and go to death. So a lot of you sons of Jacob walking in death right now because you break the laws, even those that dishonor their parents. So the law is vital and it's just. And I tell people all the time, if they want to get in a discussion about the laws, that you go into First Yochanan 2, 3, and 4. We hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. For if you say you love him and you keep not his commandments, you are a liar, and the truth is not in you. What did we just say is the truth? The law. Where's that? Psalms 119, 142. See, in the truth, you're in these laws, and you're trying to keep every last one of them. You know what, Christianity? Y'all teach the same thing Jay-Z believes in, that he got from Albert Pike, who was a Freemason, and they're all Satanists. And that is, do what thou wilt. Do whatever you want. This is the same thing these preachers, these Joel Osteens, T.D. Jakes, Benny Hams, and them are telling you on Sundays, that you have grace. Enjoy your life. Live your best life. Go have fun. Jesus paid it all, whoever that is. A made-up fictional character based on Serapis and Caesar Borgia. And we got something to say about all y'all using Christ's name. Because Christ only means anointed. You're not talking about Yesha, which means salvation. Yah-Sha-Yah. Some say Yah. Shua, and it means Yah's salvation. It came through a man who came here to sacrifice his life and shed his blood for our sins. I won't go into that. I just wanted to get that part out. We're going to go into some wisdom in the books, but the title of this lesson today, which is very brief, I'm just glad to be back online. I've been off for a couple of weeks because I actually packed up, moved, and changed states to a place where I can be closer to the Most High and move on to the next chapter of my life. When we come back, the lesson's titled Return. Return. And I'm a stickler for saying that the Shabbat is for us to exhort, encourage, and honor one another in these lessons and getting on the airways. It's not about us doing movie reviews and book reviews and TV show reviews and likes and hit the like button and get in the algorithm and follow. No. You know what? I trust the Most High said, I watch over my word to perform. That's where I'm at. So when we come back, we will get into, we'll do some more Proverbs, and then we will get into the lesson on the return coming out of Malachi, the third chapter. Okay, let's get ready to get into the lesson, the return. or should I just say return? Because I'm talking to you, sons of Jacob. The return, that's what we're in reference to. This is not a channel where we're going to do a review of blasphemous comedy, our Netflix show, our current event, or talk about Cat Williams. This is a day that the Most High has made, that's set apart, that's kodesh, that's holy. We get into the word and we encourage and exhort one another. So let's get into some wisdom of Solomon before we go to the book of Malachi, the third chapter. Just a brief lesson, not going to be on for long. Proverbs, the 10th chapter. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son, maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Just read earlier before we started on the YouTube about the righteousness found in Psalms 119 and 142 and being in the truth, what that consists of, which is being enshrouded into the law, encapsulated, let me say it that way, encapsulated by the laws of Yah. Never were done away with, never will be done away with. Get that right, Christian church. Proverbs 10 and 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up stripes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that utters a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. I add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word of wisdom. That was just want to make some reference to some dialogue I heard earlier in the week, which has its true components that a lot of people are concerned about. First of all, you can't expand your wisdom, your knowledge, and your consciousness until you are refreshed, reset. Like if somebody gives you a laptop that, you know, to belong to them, and they've got all this software that is of no use to you, you've got to completely purge that laptop before it can be of service to you, and download everything that you need that makes it necessary and useful to you. And this is how the Most High sees you. There's a lot of you holding on to old software that is not useful in this walk and in this life. And you need to be purged. A lot of that you all need to be purged from is Christianity and the way you view this word. I had a video that said there was no one in the Bible that had a Bible. People had more knowledge of the books, the Torah and the Tanakh and the prophets than you do today. And you worship the New Testament, which was coined by the church fathers who were strangers, Gentiles, and heathens that took over the so-called church after Constantine, the Nicene Council, the Council of the Ephesus, Council of Ephesus, the Council of Trent. It kept restructuring our scrolls and creating what was known as the New Testament to throw us off, hide us from knowledge. All this began to take place, the first printed Bible in 1475. They censored what you know as the New Testament in 1516 and 1583. There was a censoring. There was a guy named Marcion who compiled all of Paul's books along with what they called the Gospels, which were not the Gospels. They were just accounts of someone they kind of created, which was Jesus based on Serapis to create Christianity. And then they rewrote the book of John, the fourth Gospel, because they inseminated different wording and structures. This is the first time you started hearing in the Gospel that Jesus was a Jew. Jesus wasn't a Jew. He was of the tribe of Judah, but he was an Israelite. And they started tampering with the scriptures back then. I never knew of a guy named Desiderius Erasmus. Let me tell you something about Desiderius Erasmus. He was a Dutch Christian humanist Catholic theologian, educationalist, and a satirist. Satire means comedy, always making light jokes of stuff, and a philosopher who was around the time of 1536. That was when he died. He was known for New Testament translations and exegesis and satire, making light of our word, pacificism, letters, and he was an author, an editor, and an influencer. If a lot of you all knew the history, and I'm not trying to disregard the New Testament, because I know that a lot of things were written in a way that they could not change everything, and the Father's not going to let them totally destroy the accounts of the words of the letters, but everything that's in the New Testament is based and rooted in what they call the Old Testament, which is the Torah and the Tanakh. There was no New Testament when Yeshua walked the earth, when the disciples walked the earth. The true disciples who didn't call themselves Christians, they were in the way. I did a lesson about that. This book wasn't around. This book was meant to throw you off, which is why they promote the majority of Paul's letters, which Peter says in 2 Peter, I believe it's 3:15-17, that Paul's letters are not to be understood. Are hard to understand, and you can't understand Paul's letters unless you have an understanding of the Torah and the Tanakh and the prophets, and not one jot or tittle of what the prophets has said will be done away with, or the Torah, until all has been fulfilled, and everything has not been fulfilled. Leviticus 23 proves that, the holy days, because the first three portions of the high holy days have been fulfilled, but the second have not been fulfilled. The trumpet has not sounded, the atonement has not happened, and he has not come back to tabernacle amongst us yet, and that's the fulfillment of the second three. So no, the law is not done away with. But this Erasmus, Desiderius Erasmus and Marcion, these people were from Europe, Rome, Greece, Switzerland, and creating a false religion called Christianity that you all still are immersed in. And the majority of you all don't even have knowledge of the Old Testament, and you swear by this New Testament that was transliterated, exegeted, changed. They took out Passover and inseminated the word Easter into this New Testament to throw you off. And when you go back to the etymology, you realize it was a replacement of Passover. And the etymology of the word Easter comes from Astarte, which was the worship of another god. You have to learn to study to show yourself approved. So many of us are not growing in the truth because we're holding on to concepts of Christianity and religion that has us enslaved. Your laptop is not clean. You still got all this old software and malware and viruses in your computer that need to be eradicated and washed out. I say at the end of every show, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think you already have it. It means that you can't learn more truth because you think you already know everything. You think you already got it. when truth is perpetual, it's an ever-growing learning journey. It just keeps coming. And when you think you learned so much and your brain is full, here comes a whole nother download of more truth. We're living in the information age right now that Daniel prophesied, because he told Daniel, hide the books. I'll expose them. They'll discover them in the ground, anthropologists and everything else. They'll discover them. And now that information is so vast with the internet and computers, which is working against the Satanists and the technocrats, it's working against them because it's waking people up. Where at the press of a button, you can find out truth, history, and facts. So now they're working hard, people like Google, to eradicate the Google search engines so that you won't get the truth, because it scared the hell out of them that now you can find out more about what these early white Christian forefathers, Machiavelli, Petrarca, Martin Luther, Thomas More, Marcion, Erasmus, what they did to our books, our records, our history. This whole concept of a so-called Bible is our history book, our history, our documents, our records of our sojourn that they decided to compile with these councils to decide how they would change it, what they would compile in the Bible, what they would let us read. And then what, let's check this out. It was 1611 that the Apocrypha, those 14 books were there. And then they became fearful of the 14 books because they realized it was exposing something. So they went to 1776 and took out the 14 books and called that the Apocrypha. Now, Apocrypha means the time that we're living in now. What does Apocrypha mean? The unveiling, the removal of the handkerchief, the unveiling. And we are now in the time, when they say apocalypse, apocalyptic, we're in the time of unveiling. And even though they tried to hide and alter and change through our dreams, discernment, the Most High speaking to us and giving us revelation, and we're finding out anyway. We're putting the pieces together. Why do you think the Most High would speak in dark sentences, parables, metaphors? It was to hide it from these people. Allegories. That's what we do in rap music. The same thing. We're hiding information and knowledge. You have to put it together. And if you don't know, you don't know. And if you know, you know. But only the Ruach can reveal it. So they were so dumb trying to hide books and putting books in there and not realizing that we, as the prophets and the sons of Jacob, were given the oracles, and we have inside of us an ability to understand the metaphor, the allegory, the parables. We get it. You know why? Because it's written and encoded in our DNA. Because our forefathers sat at the mountain where the commandments were given. We had a face-to-face encounter with Yah. That's encoded in our DNA, a face-to-face encounter. These people, he doesn't know them. Matter of fact, he says, Jacob I love and Esau I hate. He will not reveal himself to Esau. And you can go read what he's going to do to the majority of those people and find out what's going to happen to them. What book is that in the Old Testament? Escapes my mind. One chapter. Obadiah. Go read. They know what's coming to them, and they know who you are. So even with them having altered these books, you know, they censored. In 1610, they censored the Old Testament, and then in 1611, these transliterators revised an edition for King James. They just kept trying to mess with this book because this was all during the Renaissance period. William Tyndale, they killed him for translating it into English. To your history, people, but what I want you to really understand is that you have to wipe your mind of religion, which is bondage, and Christianity, if you want to learn who Yah is. If you want to learn who and what you really are, you need to understand the origin of your spirit, your soul, the purpose of your body and your time here, and how to expand. Because inside of you is the kingdom of Yah. Your body is the temple. Frequencies are coming at you because the frequencies, the demons and spirits of the Nephilim ride on these frequencies to alter your consciousness and thinking. You got these people, so-called Israelites on YouTube, doing reviews and promoting these movies and these books. I'm like, yeah, you should watch it. I think it's cool. They don't realize that through a lot of these movies, they're altering the frequencies that spirits can ride on so that you get in duplicitous messages while watching the movie. Your subconscious is being messed with. Then you wonder why you're scratching, itching, having bad dreams, having lustful thoughts, different things are happening because you're picking up this information unknowingly through your subconscious and you're not guarding your spirit. And you're already carnal and probably got cracks all in your vessel. And you know what the cracks are? Unforgiveness, hatred, bitterness that you haven't given to Yah, so you're not delivered. So when you walk around with a cracked, fractured vessel, you're vulnerable to satanic attacks that ride on frequencies that can come through music, movies, sound, things that you look at with your eye gate on social media. And you don't even understand the depths of social media and your cell phone and your neurons and your neurotransmitters inside your body and how they connect electronically through your biofield. And that phone becomes one. It assimilates with your body and your frequency that's coming from your body. It's communicating with your phone. You have become one with that thing. I never forget when there was a minister that used to say that iPhone is of the devil, satanic. They all used to laugh. But now I get it. He's absolutely right. So that's my diatribe with that right now. Just wanted you to understand that. So I want to talk about returning. What you need to do is we must return and keep our focus. Here's the patience of the saints, Revelation said. What is the patience of the saints? Keeping the commandments, waiting on him to come back, and just the meek shall inherit the earth, but we got to wait on him. I'm going to start in Malachi 2 and 17. We have wearied the Most High with your words. Yet you say, when have we wearied him? When you say that everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of Yah, and he delighteth in them. Or where is the Yah of judgment? If that's not what's going on around us now, what is? We're calling good evil and evil good. I'm doing what this last part of this verse says. Everybody's saying, where's he at? This we're living in the apocalypse. We're living in the tribulation. But when is he coming back? Is he ever coming back? There is no Yah. Just go party. Just go do your thing. People are actually becoming atheists. Technocrats and atheists. They're giving up. That's why they prefer Christianity, because they have grace, because Christianity is satanic, becoming the same premise as do whatsoever thou wilt. And then just come to church on Sunday and give me 10% of debt, and you're going to heaven. And now the camps are doing it, storing you Hebrews for your check and your money on the shelf. But when you go to their camp services, we're wearying the Most High. Jump down to Malachi, the third chapter. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. I want to be in that number, and you should want to be in that number. We're preparing the way the same way Yah Baptist prepared the way for Yeshua HaMashiach. He prepared the way, and then he got the way. So are you doing the work? Or are you doing movie reviews and saying hit the like button and trying to build up your numbers on carnal YouTube? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Telling people to return. Come back to Yah. Repent. Don't do that. Die out to your flesh. You can make it. Hang in there. Don't give up. Forget about your little pains, your hurts, what you think you're going through, and always, woe is me. Now, why can't you be a messenger preparing the way for one who's been better to you than you've been to yourself? I continue with Malachi 3 and 1. And Yahuwah, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Do you know that that temple is also talking about you? He shall suddenly come to his temple, his people, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, said the Most High of hosts. Let me pull up the Hebrew for temple. I'm going to pull up a few of these words to get complete understanding. A palace. Strong's Hebrew, Hekal. A palace of Yah, considered as a king. The house of Yah. Temple below where prophet sees. And it says his temple. What is the temple? Your body is the temple. He's coming for you. I digress. Let me continue to read. Verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming? See this? Who will abide? Who will he be coming for? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Let me pull this up, fuller's, because it's a key Hebrew word. Then I want to say something. Because when he comes, the reason they're saying he's like a refiner's fire is because no sin or wickedness can stand in the presence of Yah when he returns. It's too awesome. It's too terrible. Nobody can. Sin cannot exist in the presence of the return. It disintegrates. It's just like when you turn on a light switch, darkness is gone. It dissipates. It disappears. It goes away. And suddenly you can see. Y'all not ready for this day, but you want him to come back so bad, like Malachi 2 and 17, but you're not ready because you have not sacrificed everything. Who can say in here that they're trying to walk like Enoch and Elisha, who didn't see death and got called up to heaven? Because you seek that kind of righteousness and you're beyond fleshly, mortal lusts, things, idolatry, covetousness, gossip, lying. So that refiner's fire, tried in the fire, come out as pure gold. And when he says like fuller's soap, let's see if we can get that in the Strong's. That would be Rogelim, that's 7274. And it's as tramping the cloth in washing. So when he says like fuller's soap, it's like when they used to have those scrub boards and they take a piece of cloth washing, they trample on it to purge it and make it clean. So it's the trampling and cleansing his return. And back to the analogy of the light switch. It's the eradication of darkness and sin when he returns. Who can stand it? Who can abide that day? Verse 3, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Most High Yahuwah an offering in righteousness. So he's going to purge priests. There are impurities in gold and silver. The more you turn up the fire, the more pure the metal becomes. And he's coming to completely purge us out. And when he says Levi, he's in reference to the priests to prepare the righteousness, because we have to go back. This is the return we're talking about. There must be those that will offer the service, the 144,000, those priests, those governors, so that we can be ushered, get ready to be ushered into the New Jerusalem that has 12 gates, and each gate has the name of the 12 tribes of Yasharah. Verse 5, and I, Yah, will come near to you to judgment. And I will be a swift witness against who? sorcerers, those who are selling drugs, witchcraft, and against adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling, employees, people that work for you, take advantage of him, people that oppress widows who have no covering, people that oppress the fatherless, children, take advantage of them, molesting them, sacrificing them, human trafficking them, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. There's a remnant of the Gentiles that will make it in. And you have a group of people that say, oh, y'all, no, this is not for you. You can't have any of this. That's what you do. And you don't fear Yah, because you should tread lightly. Let me go to verse 6. For Haya, the power, the Elohim, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, said Power, our Elohim. Where is he? He's saying, where are you? Return unto me. You've been doing this Christianity since you arrived here in slavery. Since the 50s, 60s, 40s, since 1611, 1500s, you've been practicing this white man's religion that he put on you through chains and through a yoke of iron. It didn't bring him back to you. That was not the return. Returning to him is returning to his customs and culture and ways that he established for his people that are called by his name. Returning to your culture is not returning to the forefathers and Africa and pouring out libations and getting into Orisha. That's not returning unto him. It's not helping you. It's not doing it. Returning unto him is finding out who you are and coming back to your cultural understanding of how you worship the infinite creator of all things, the Most High. It's the purging of one's self and realigning your spirit up with his spirit and his heavenly customs that was above and actually happened below when he showed Moses and them how to make the Holy of Holies, the inner court and the outer court, and on what day to perform the holy days and the services of Yah. Return unto him and his ways. Women wearing that pertains to a woman, not things that pertain to a man. Covering her head, being meek and understanding her place. The order of 1 Corinthians 11. Men being men and appearing before the Most High three times a year with an offering of sacrifice unto him of oneself. Training up a child in the way they should grow. Dietary habits, laws, customs, traditions of the fathers. Holiness. Hallelujah. Holy unto Yah. There can be no other way. For this is what he is calling for. And this is how we must live. Let us return unto him, and he will return unto us. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. May the Most High bless and keep you and enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.